Well, I would like to ask you this morning if you would take the Word of God and turn with us to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. I'd like you to look over to verse 15 there in John chapter 14. Word of God states, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and ye shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come before your blessed throne of grace today, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Father, I want to thank you for your providence of grace that has brought us to this house at this time. Father, to be able to be saved, to know that we're on our way to heaven. And Father, to know that, Lord, there may be others in our service today that have walked away from you. Father, maybe never walked to you. And Lord, my desire today is, Lord, that they would accept you as Savior and Lord. Father, that they would commit and dedicate that life to thee. And then, Father, I ask now that you might, Lord, encourage me and strengthen me today, Father. Lord, help me to stand here at this sacred desk and preach your word. Father, help me to share with this people, Father, the very thing that you would have me to say to them. And Father, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, and Lord, be able to speak to them as well. And Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Father, for meeting with us. I thank you for this congregation and the songs that have been sung, and Lord, most especially for this word that has been read. And I ask, Father, now that you would take charge. These things we ask in Jesus' name for his sake alone. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said there in John chapter 14 and verse 19, a little phrase, he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of because of his resurrection. And then I'm going to sub-message here in just a few moments another thought as we get into the lesson a little bit later on. I think one of the great facts of all is the fact that Jesus Christ himself was crucified. It is recorded in history. It is proven that there was a man by the name of Jesus that was crucified. It is not something that is a fairy tale. It's something that is real. Amen. I've been to the place where he was crucified at. I've been to the place where the Jews say he was crucified at in the world. But I can tell you, dear friends, there's a great difference in both of those places. But whether he was crucified in one or the other, we do know that he was crucified. Something else we know for positive as well is that Jesus did rise from the grave. And I'm thankful for that, because our salvation could not be salvation without the resurrected Christ. We would never be able to go to heaven without that. Our salvation would be null and void. We celebrate the fact that Christ is risen because that he is a living Savior. And I want to draw your attention to some of those things because of his resurrection today. First of all, because of his resurrection, we have no reason to fear death today. You and I today, if we are a child of God, there is no reason whatsoever that we should ever worry about dying. Because as a child of God, we are on our way. The Bible tells us that we're alive, and we're alive forevermore. And this body might fall away. This body might decay and canker and do all the things that bodies do. But listen, dear friend, your spirit will always live with Jesus. A great reason why we should not fear death. Now, if we're living when Christ comes back and we are not saved, then there's a reason to fear death. Because here's the problem. Because you won't be found rising through the clouds. You won't be found going home to heaven. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. And we know today, dear friends, that each one of us are going to be judged one day, and we will stand before this great God, our Creator, the Almighty God that has given us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to be able to have to fear death. I don't want to have to be one of those ones that might be left standing here when the church is raptured out and gone on to be with the Lord. I don't want to be one of those. And I'm sure if you thought about it for a long enough period of time, you would probably agree with me that you don't want to be one of those neither. The Bible tells us that if you are one of those that are left here, that at that beginning there is a period of 7 years of tribulation. And in those 3.5 years, the first part of it, there are some terrible things that happen to this earth and the people of this earth and the population of the earth. And then in the last 3.5 years, as the devil begins to take his stronghold through his Antichrist, and so many other things begin to take place, and people that then would be saved would give their life to be able to go to heaven. I believe, dear friends, today that death is something that is real, and it's something that those people who are lost at that time are going to have to contemplate. I do not want you to be one of those ones that contemplate death at that time. I want you to be one of those that go home to be with God in heaven when the rapture takes place and the church is called away. I want you to be one of those that are saved and you know for sure that you're on your way, that you know right now that you're on your way. I don't want to fear death because my sins have been forgiven and my sins are gone. And I want you to know that, dear friends, your sins have been forgiven. Every sin that you've committed in the past, every sin that you may commit today and even now in the future, every sin that you commit and every single person that is in this building today, every sin that you might commit or have committed, God has already forgiven you of those things. And what you have to do in salvation is accept that forgiveness and acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. And thank God, dear friends, that many of us in this building today have done that. I don't want to fear death because I know my sins are gone today, dear friend. My sins don't hold me back. My sins don't trouble me today. Now the devil, he tries to creep up and he tries to aggravate and he tries to take our mind off of God and move us through life in a very miserable status. But listen, dear friend, if you really love God, you don't have to be miserable and you don't have to fear death. Because I know death is coming one day to all of us. In fact, we don't ever, any of us know exactly when that day is going to be. Some say, well, preacher, when you get old, you'll die. Well, that's true. But sometimes, dear friends, young people die too. In fact, I have been looking at it here in the last few years that cancer itself has begun to invade the ranks of youth and children a whole lot more than it ever has been. The percentage has raised from what it used to be. And I believe that the devil is out there and he's trying to push people into all kinds of things like this. Back years ago, back in the late 70s and early to mid 80s, AIDS virus was out there. And thousands of people died with the AIDS virus because of their lifestyles that they were living. And then some people because they received blood transfusions that they had gotten from people who had the AIDS and they didn't even realize that they had it at that time and then they died with it. Many years ago, I used to sell insurance, and one of my customers, he was a man with AIDS. And I asked him one day, I called him by name. I won't share his name with you today, but I asked him, I said, how did you contract this ugly disease? And he said, I had a blood transfusion. He said, now, make sure you understand this, preacher. He said, I hadn't always lived my life for the Lord. He said, but I never did those heinous things. He said, but one day I had to have a blood transfusion because I was in a wreck. And he said, that's how I contracted the disease. He was 34 years old. He died a couple of years later. I remember another man who had cancer. I've shared his story with you here in this church before. He was a doctor in town, in the town where I grew up. And this gentleman, he loved the Lord. When you went into his office, he would play gospel music with you. He would take his guitar and play and sing to you before he worked with you. My music director at that church, he played the guitar as well, and he was a very good friend of this man, had played with him. He would ask him when he come into the doctor's office, he said, bring your guitar also so we can play together. And they would do that. And he asked me one day, he said, preacher, he said, can we go over and visit this man? And I said, sure. And so myself and him and one of our other men in the church, we went over that night to visit this gentleman. And I went over there with the idea that we're going to bring this man some glory. He's got cancer. He knows he's dying. We're going to come over there and we're just going to lift that man up. We're going to make his joy just overjoyed, you know. And we get in there and he has me, to, he says to me, he says, come sit down beside me on the bed. I sat down beside him on the bed. The two Herberts that were with me, they sat down in two straight back chairs up against the wall. And this gentleman began to look at me and he said this. He said, you know, he said, I perceived that when you came in here, you thought you were going to bring me and uplift me. And I looked at him and I said, yes, that's exactly why we came tonight. We wanted to pray with you and pray that God would take this cancer away from you. He said, don't do that, preacher. He said, I am saved. He said, I am on my way home. He said, I don't want to leave my family, but I want to go to heaven. And he said, don't pray for me to stay here. He said, I'm okay with this cancer. I've accepted the fact of this. He said, I am ready to go, and there's nothing going to stop me from that. So, preacher, don't pray that I don't die like that. He said, just pray that I'll make it through Christmas. He didn't make it through Christmas. He made it to, I think it was December 23rd. And his family called me and said, brother, he tried. Didn't quite make it. So the night before he died, they had all got together and they had given their presents to each other. So he got to have Christmas with his family one last time. And one of these days, dear friends, in heaven, they're going to get to be overjoyed with him as they dance around the throne with him and praise God with him. You see, friends, what I'm trying to say to you by this is we do not have to fear death. Death is just something that is commonplace that happens to us because of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so we die because of sin. But God has cured us from that sin. And even though we might die in this physical body, if you're a child of God, you're going home to heaven to be with Him. And there's no reason to worry about that. There's no fear that should ever come in amongst you for that because of heaven and the beautiful, glorious place that heaven is, the place where Jesus is, and a place where there's no sin. I don't fear death today because my sins are gone, and I don't fear death because I know the sting of death is gone. You know, the word sting is only used twice in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 and verse 56. And it's the sin that puts the sting in death, you see. It's those ugly things that we've done against God, those things that the devil tries to lead us into. These are the things that brings the sting into death. How many of y'all have ever been stung by an insect? Anybody? Well, you see, that's that little pain that you feel immediately, and then that swelling and all that that comes, that's just the same thing that sin does to us. It's that sting immediately that we know we've done something wrong. We know we've broken God's heart. We know we've broken His law. And not only that, dear friend, but then we move forward from that, and that swelling begins to happen. That's that puffing up that we receive, trying to hide that sin, trying to get away from it, and not let nobody know that we've done it. But God tells us that we don't have to fear death because the sting is gone. You see, when we get saved, the sting is removed from us. You know, when I was a little child, Man, I got stung several times by bees and stuff like that. We had fruit trees. We'd go under those fruit trees and get them apples and pears and stuff, you know, and bring them into the house. But sometimes when you was gathering them, and we were barefoot then, and you get stung on the bottom of your foot, or you get stung on your hand or your arm. Oh, my goodness. You know, those little bees, they didn't have much of a sting. But when I was in college, I was mowing one day, and I got stung close to 30 different times by yellow jackets. And yellow jackets don't just sting you, they sting and they bite you too. I got to the hospital after they took me to the hospital, and the doctor who was standing in the emergency room, he looked at me and said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I got stung by yellow jackets." He looked at me and said, "How do you know it was yellow jackets?" I said, "Well, I'm a country boy. I know what a yellow jacket looks like." And so he said, "I don't think you got stung by a yellow jacket. It must have been something else." And so they began to take my shoes off. My feet were swollen extremely. And he began to peel my socks off of my ankles. And about that time, a yellow jacket fell out of my sock. He looked at me and he said, "I guess you were right. It was yellow jackets." Listen, dear friend. I don't have to worry about the sting. Even though those stings like that, they hurt me terribly, and my body swelled up and all those things like that, I don't have to worry about the sting of death anymore because it's gone. I do not fear death because the separation is gone too. You know, today I am with the Lord. God is with each and every one of us that are saved. We have a partner that lives with us, inside of us, all day long, all night long, wherever we go. If we go up in the mountains, if we go down to the valley, He's with us. Amen? My Lord is with me every single place I go. And I don't fear death because now I don't have that separation that you have when you're lost or when there's sin in your life. Even the Christian, when there's sin in their life that's unconfessed, there is a form of separation because you know you've done wrong. You want to get back with God, but you just feel, what do I do to get back? And the devil's telling you, "Oh, you're okay. You're fine. Just don't worry about it." And God's saying, "I want you to come back." And I think that's where a lot of people in our pews are at today in churches. There's a lot of Christians that really want to come back. They know they've sinned. They know they've broken God's heart and God's will. But because of that, they're a little afraid because they don't know what to do to get back. And really, friends, it's simple. Just walk the aisle and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." But don't just tell the Lord you're sorry and be remorseful about it. Repent about it. Let the Lord know that I am not going to do this no more, Lord. I want to be back with you. I want you to cover me with your blood once again. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I don't want to be separate from your Spirit anymore. And I think sometimes, dear friends, that it's in that separation that it makes it easier and easier for those that have been out of church to stay out of church. And when you go and you knock on their door and you invite them to church, and they say, "Well, I used to go to church." You know, I'm very afraid of people that used to go to church, because those are some of the hardest people to get back in church. Because you see, the devil tells them it's okay to stay out. It's okay to miss. It's okay to stay away from church. You don't have to go there. You can just sit home and watch one of them television preachers today. And listen, friend, sitting home watching them television preachers, that's no excuse for coming to the house of God. Because God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to be together with God's people. I mean, I enjoy the time we had fellowship here. Well, I didn't get around to everybody today because we got a good number here today, and praise God for that. But my point is this: fellowship is good, isn't it? I mean, I listened to y'all when Heather was up here and she began that song back, and half the church was still back there shaking hands. Amen? And that's good. I like to see that because you're enjoying yourself. You're happy that you're in the church. You're happy that you're seeing people, just like Brother Randy and Sister Sandy back there, who haven't been able to come in such a while, but you praise God because you get to see people. That's what fellowship is about. Amen. And you fellowship with God together. And I don't fear death, because that separation is not there anymore. There's a common bond between brothers and sisters in Christ, but there is a bond between myself and the Lord that can never be broken, dear friends. You can do anything to me you want to do, but you can never break the bond of love and the bond of sacrifice that my Lord and myself have. Not a thing. So I don't fear death. It's another thing, too. I don't fear death, but I don't fear the future. You know, I've shared this with you before, but back several years ago, there was this thing called Y2K, and everybody was scared to death, you know. They thought the world was going to end, and what do we do with our computers? Because our computers don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, Y2K came, and it happened, and here we are still. Amen? And I tried to encourage our congregation then, and I had one member of our congregation. He went to the store, and he bought one of them survival places, you know. He dug a big hole, dropped that thing in there, went to the store, bought a whole bunch of toilet paper. He didn't have a commode in there neither, though. Well, had a bunch of paper towels. Even went and bought some food. Come to church, and he said, "Preacher," he said, have you got your batteries yet? And I said, "For what?" He said, "When all the power goes out." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You need light, your flashlight and stuff, when all the power goes out, because the power grid is going to go down when Y2K flips over, you know." And I looked at him, and I said, his name was John. I said, "Brother John." It's not you, John. I said, "Brother John," I said, "Listen, brother." I said, "Do you really believe that?" He said, "Well, it could happen." I said, "Do you not trust God enough to believe that God's going to take care of you in any of that?" I said, "You need to quit stockpiling that toilet paper and share it with some people, you know." I mean, all them people years later on that got COVID, they would have loved to have had some toilet paper, you know. I don't fear the future, you know. I know what the future is. I may not know exactly what tomorrow is going to be. I may not know exactly what's going to befall me and this church and anyone in this church. But I can tell you, dear friend, my future tense, one of these days, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm not going to have to worry about this world anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about the devil anymore, sin anymore, trouble anymore, sickness anymore, glasses anymore. All those things, it'll be gone.
Amen.
What a blessing. I don't fear the future. I don't fear the future because our Lord is a constant. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says He is the unchanging God in His nature, His power, and His purpose. The Lord will remain the same regardless, dear friend, of what we say or what we do. Remember I said, I think in Sunday school this morning, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He always has been, and He always will be. I don't fear the future because I know He's constant. As good as He is to me today, I know He'll be as good as that and even better tomorrow. But also, I don't fear the future because I know the Lord is competent. I know that He can take care of me. He's done it in the past, and He will do it in the future. So I'm not afraid of what future is going to happen because I know the Lord took care of me yesterday. And last week and the week before that, hey, He's got a pretty good record going, doesn't He?
Amen.
Better than some of us. And the Lord still loves us. He's in control. I think it was back years ago, Time magazine, their headline was, "Where is God?" And I think in our world today, people have been asking the question, where is God? Where is God in all this? Well, God is still here, friend. God has never left us. It's we that have left God. And no wonder we wonder where God is because we've gotten so far away from Him that we can't even get an understanding of Him anymore. Our churches have walked away. Our Christians have walked away. Gospel music has walked away. All these things have walked away from God. And it seems today like that people can't find God anymore. God never left us. God is still here. Now listen, I don't fear the future because I know the future is taken care of for me. My Lord has told me that He's prepared a place for me in heaven. It's a place that I don't have to worry about knowing that when, if I get there, it's going to be completed, because it'll be completed when I get there. I don't know if there'll be plumbing there, because I'm not sure if I'll need plumbing there, you know. But if it is there, and if I do need it, guess what? It will be complete, and it'll be perfect. I don't have to worry about walking into my mansion and looking at the walls and saying, you know, that's not exactly right. That wall's not plumb. Because I'll tell you, dear friends, that wall will be plumb, because it will have been made by my Lord. Amen. It's going to be just right. Now, your mansion, it's going to be just right also. Can you imagine all these mansions in heaven? Look around us today. Look at all these people in here. And everybody having a mansion? Oh, heaven has to be this wonderful, wonderful place. Now, I know some people, you know, they call their mansions these tiny houses now. And they'll go out and spend $100,000 on a tiny house, and they could have bought a mobile home or a camper for $40,000, you know. I hadn't figured that one out yet, neither. They say, well, we want to be mobile. Well, go buy that, you know, instead of blowing your money on something like that. You see, today, we've gotten so spendy, if you will. I know that might not be a word, but it's a word I'm going to use today, okay? Spendy. We just spend money here, we spend money there, and we're okay with it, with no thought of the future. I think we need to pay attention to it, don't you think? You know, I don't fear eternity, number three, today. I know eternity's coming, and the Bible says there's two places that we're going to spend in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And yes, dear friends, there is a real hell. Just as there is a real heaven, there is a real hell. But heaven is a place of bliss. That word bliss means gladness or happiness. It means joy and rapture. It's a place of beauty, of elegance, of exquisiteness, fascination, and loveliness. It's also a place of bountifulness. You won't ever want for anything when you get to heaven. I mean, everything will be there. Of what you need and what you want, it'll be there, dear friend. And I'm not talking about some utopia like people in this world try to paint a picture of. I'm talking about heaven itself, dear friend, and what God has there for us. And in the midst of all that, there's going to be Jesus. And we can talk to Him at any time. Talk to Him all day long. And we'll get to talk to Him all day long, because there's no night there. Amen. So if you're afraid of things that go bump in the night, don't worry about it. There won't be no night there. And there won't be anything that goes bump in the night there neither, by the way. Because the devil and his sin and his cohorts won't be there. So as I look at this today, I think there are basically three answers or three questions that we have to ask. And that they must be answered today. And this is the second part of this message. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew's Gospel 27. Matthew 27. I want to look down first of all to verse 15. And I'm going to try to read fast, because our time's getting away from us. Now Jesus had been brought before the... he had already prayed in the garden. He's been taken by the Romans. He's been... now being brought before Pilate, and there's some questions that is going to be asked of him. Verse 15 says, "Now at that feast the governor who was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, and saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And we're going to stop reading right there. Listen, life is full of many questions, isn't it? We talked about this fear. We talked about death. We've talked about these things about heaven. And that's definitely a question that we all need to have answered in our own lives. Are we saved? Or are we not saved? So life is full of a lot of questions, but there are some questions that need answering, I think, today. Not waiting for next week or another day. Today, I want us to look very quickly at some questions here. Question first, number one. Question first of all is a question of desires. Look at verse 21 with me there again. It says, The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now Jesus, the Son of God, a man who's not done anything wrong, he is now before Pilate. Pilate is bringing him before the people, before the Pharisees and before the people there. And he said unto them, Which one do you want me to release? You want me to release Barabbas, this thief, a common criminal, or do you want me to release Jesus? And they said, I want you to release Barabbas. What do we do with Jesus then? I want you to crucify him. I want you to crucify him. That's what the people said. You see, it's a question of desire today. And I think this is a question we have to answer ourselves today. Do we want Barabbas released, or do we want Jesus? And I think today in our world, what we have done is we have begun saying, just like these people did, we want Barabbas and we don't want Jesus. We want Jesus crucified, and so we'll try to wrap Jesus up in a tiny little ball and crumble him up and throw him off to the side. But we let Barabbas go, and Barabbas is okay to unwrap it and do whatever he wants to do. Here, even just recently in the State of the Union address, we found out something about that, about this man who had killed this young girl. And the President of this United States of America had an opportunity to put that man back in prison and didn't do it. Or send him back home and didn't do it. You see, my point is this. In America, we have gotten so adept to letting Barabbas go that we don't worry about Jesus anymore. We don't worry about doing the right things anymore. We just go ahead and do the wrong things. And so I think it is a question of desire today. What is your desire today? Is your desire to follow after the devil and do what the devil wants you to do? Or is your desire to follow after God and do what God wants you to do? You see, following after the devil is a life of sin. It's a life of rebellion. It's a life that's out of control. It's a life that'll break you down, a life that will harm you. It will harm you in such a way where, dear friend, unless you receive Jesus Christ, you'll never get out of it. It's a life of condemnation, a life of hopelessness, a life of nothing like God wants to give you. But God wants, on the other hand, to give you a life of salvation and the blessing of God. A life that is under control, a life that is at peace, a life that is absolute joy, a life that is free from condemnation, a life that is full of hope today. And then we have question number two. First, a question of desire, but what about a question of destinies? Where will you spend your destiny? Will you spend your eternity in heaven, or will you spend your eternity in hell? We talked about that a few minutes ago, but have you made a decision yet? You see, to refuse Jesus is to be lost and doomed to hell. To accept Jesus is to know that you're going home to be with the Lord in heaven. So I think today that that question needs to be answered, a question of destiny. But what about the last one? What about the question of decisions? You see, there are many questions that are asked today in our world. But now there has to be some decisions made. Here in the last few years, when you go to the doctor, you have to fill out these forms, you know. You got all kinds of forms you got to fill out every time you go. And if your doctor is like the doctors we've been to recently, that at the bottom of those or at the top of those forms that you fill out are two or three little questions, and they say something to the effect of, are you afraid of being harmed at home? Do you feel like you're in danger at home? My wife and I, we kind of chuckle about this because, you know, we ask these questions and we answer these questions and we look at each other and we know that neither one of us are in danger of harming each other. But in our world today, that actually is going on. And no wonder they have to put these questions on those papers, because they need to be notified if something happens to you, especially if you have a surgery and you're at home and you're trying to get well and somebody comes in, one of your family members come in and they hurt you. Listen, dear friend, I think it's a question of decision today. A decision about, are we going to make the right choices today? Are we going to trust in the Lord and let the Lord lead us, or are we going to trust in something else? And I think too many of us are trusting in something else. I conclude this thought today with this. A little over 2,000 years ago, there was a great crowd that gathered. And this great crowd gathered, and Pontius Pilate, he came up to the crowd and he said, "Hey, I want your attention today. I have a man over here who is a thief. You know him. He's one of you. His name is Barabbas. And then I have this man over here. His name is Jesus. And I find no fault in this man. You know what Barabbas is. So it is the time when I can release one person. Which one would you have me to release?" And immediately, I don't think there was a moment's hesitation. Immediately, the crowd cried out, "Release Barabbas, but crucify Jesus." Decisions. Decisions that we all have to make. Questions that we all have to answer. And it's up to you today to either ask that question to someone or to answer that question yourself to someone. It's your prerogative today to make the decision, the right decision, to serve Jesus. To know for sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. I remember what it was like going to church on Sunday morning and having the Lord convict me of my sins. I remember what it was like when I would walk out that door and I would shake the preacher's hand like most of us do. And I would look at that man in the eyes and I would say, just like everybody else did, "Good message." And I would walk out that door knowing that I was convicted of my own sins and I was as lost as I could be and I was on my way to hell. And I was so thankful the day that I was able to walk by him and shake his hand and look at him in the eye with my tear-drawn eyes and tell him, "Thank you. Thank you for preaching the message. Thank you for telling me about hell. Thank you for letting me know that I didn't have to die and go there. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to be saved." And from that time forward, his name was Tommy Smith. From that time forward, Brother Tommy and I, we've been good friends ever since then, because we're brothers in Christ. I made a decision. A question was asked from the pulpit that day, and I made a decision to follow my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, many of you have made that decision. You've made the decision to serve Christ. You've made the decision to be saved and go to heaven. But I'm afraid there's probably somebody in here who hasn't made that decision yet. And today is your opportunity to make that decision, to decide if you're going home. I've talked about heaven and the beauty of it, you know. And it is a beautiful place. John tells us how beautiful it is. Will you ever get to see it? Or will you just stand at the gates looking at it? Will you hear those words, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I know you not"? Or will you hear, "Enter in"? Friend, I hope you hear, "Enter in." And I'm going to be standing there, friend. And some of your brothers and sisters in Christ here will be standing with you there. And I'm afraid that sometimes, dear friend, some of us are going to walk in while others are still standing there. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Now, I can't beat you and bring you up to this altar today. I could come out there and I could pull you by the arm and the shoulder and I could push you down at this altar and say, "Pray and ask Christ to come into your heart." I could do that. But you know what? That's not my job. You know whose job that is? The Holy Spirit. It's His job to do that, to bring you up to this altar. So friend, I'm asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear to hear, listen what the Spirit is saying to you. Do you have ears today? Listen. Listen. The Spirit is calling your name today. With everyone standing with heads bowed and eyes closed, pianist and song director coming, if you would. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, your blessings that you've given unto us. I thank you for this lesson today, Father, and Father, helping us to see that, Lord, there's questions, there's decisions, there's all kinds of things in this world, Lord, that we are faced with, fears and happiness, Lord. But Father, I'm so thankful today that you give us an opportunity to know the truth, to know the reality, Lord, and to be able to give the right answers to the questions, to make the right decision, Lord. So, Father, I pray for folks here. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to be saved if they're lost. Father, I pray that you would help those that, Lord, are saved to commit their lives to you and live, Lord, in a peaceful way. Father, in a fruitful way for you. Lord, that they can be a blessing to you in this church. And we'll give you praise and honor because we love you, Jesus. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. Amen. Everyone look this way, sister, if you would come. Whatever number they've picked out, I want you to sing that number today. And I want you to think about what I've talked about today. I want you to think about going to heaven. I want you to think about the place that heaven is and the fears that you don't have to have in this world anymore. And I want you, if you've never made those decisions, please make those decisions right now. Don't leave this church knowing that you're going out of this world and dying and going to hell. Don't leave that way. Please make sure that you get saved. And then I ask some of you others, some of you have been coming to church here for years, some of you have been coming for months or weeks, and you don't call this church home yet, really, because you're not a member here. You might call it home because you come, but you're not a member here yet. I'm asking you to come and join this church today. Amen. Stand with a Bible-believing church and help us grow the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Help us grow it for the Lord. And let the Lord bless you then. Will you do that as they sing? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, God is truly good to us. You know, there's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God will not do for us as long as we do it in His Spirit and His time. I'm so thankful for the Glad Hills and their family. They've been coming and visiting here for a few months now, I think. And you know, they come on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we just praise the Lord for that. And they've decided they want to become united with our church and membership. They're both saved. They're both baptized, and they both love the Lord. Already been helping us with things in the church, and we appreciate that too. And I wonder today what the pleasure of the church is that we accept them as members of, of Calvary Independent Baptist Church.
Amen.
All right, do we have a motion? Do we have a motion made twice? Do we have a second to that motion? Second over here. All in favor, again, let it be known by the uplifting of your right hand. Amen. All opposed, by like sign. Don't you dare. Amen. Well, let me be the first one to give y'all a right hand of fellowship. Welcome to the church, and praise God. And we appreciate y'all being here. Y'all come by and give them right hand of fellowship. They'll be up here, and we just appreciate God and what He's doing in our church. Please, friend, if you're not saved, I'm giving you this call one more time. If you're not saved, please don't wait. Please don't wait. I honestly believe we're on the last of the last of the last days here on this earth. And we need to make sure that we're working for the Lord and that we're ready. So let's make sure that we're ready. Amen. All right, all hearts and minds clear today? All right, everybody happy?
Yes.
All right, good. I'll see you back here tonight. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you for your goodness and your blessings. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had today to share your word. And Father, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that we can look at the death, the burial, and the resurrection, Lord, in so many different ways. And yet we still come to the same climax, Lord, that you're our Savior and you did it all for us. And I praise you for that today. I thank you, Father, for these that have come and joined the church today and others, Lord, today that are here as visitors. And we pray, Father, for them, and we pray for our people, Lord. But, Father, most of all, we pray today that lost people get saved, not just here in this church, but all throughout this community. Father, help us, Lord, to be that lighthouse. Help us to be that beacon that draws people to this place, Lord. And, Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. We love you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. God bless you.